It's Leap Day 2016, February the 29th. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, good evening, and welcome to a rather geeky podcast, which I will admit at the outset, but a very fun meetup and opportunity to learn more about WordPress. I have really enjoyed for the past probably 4 or 5 years the opportunity to attend a local meetup for WordPress enthusiasts that is held at Oklahoma Christian University, or OC, which is up in Edmond, about 25 minutes from my house now. And the meetup basically gives opportunities for different folks to present plugins or tips and tricks or all kinds of things about WordPress. And we've got all levels of folks who end up attending, from beginners to absolute uber experts that, you know, contribute to the code that goes into the core of WordPress and apps that are developed for WordPress and all kinds of things. So tonight I had an opportunity to share a presentation on WordPress security and two-factor authentication, specifically using the plugin Clef, that is spelled C-L-E-F. And I wanted to mention a couple things before sharing the presentation. I recorded, I think, about 48 minutes, which was almost the entire presentation, but it actually cut off at the end, so I'm not exactly sure how it's gonna cut off. But one of the things that I did not mention, and really should have, and we talked a little bit afterwards about, is the fact that WordPress, if you are not running SSL, if you don't have an SSL cert or certificate, and that's set up on your site, when you are on a Wi-Fi connection, your username and your password are being shared in the clear. And that means, for instance, when you go to a coffee shop, if you don't tether to your phone or use your own mobile hotspot or use a VPN connection, which is like a tunnel that protects your traffic, if you're just connecting to Wi-Fi and you go to your website and you're logging in, or you're logged in to a page like the dashboard where your credentials are required, then you are essentially sharing your username and your password with anybody else who is connected to that same coffee shop Wi-Fi access point. And something that I did go ahead and put into the presentation slides but didn't talk about during the session is a little plugin for Firefox that was developed, I think, back in October of 2010, called FireSheep. And I learned about it because of a geeky friend that I have that was attuned to the Black Hat conference that was taking place, where hackers were sharing their own tips and tricks. And anyway, this was developed as a way to show security vulnerabilities for sites like WordPress, and at the time, Facebook and other sites that did not use SSL encryption. So just be aware of that, and as we're talking about security, one of the important things that you can do is not to log into your WordPress site when you're at a coffee shop or another access point where other people are connecting. It's not your own, you know, home access point that you've got locked down with a password. You also could take the security precaution of using a VPN service, which creates a secure tunnel for your traffic to go through, and therefore folks should theoretically not be able to see your username and your password. And the other thing that you could consider doing is, you know, tethering to your mobile phone or using a mobile hotspot. And although I think it's possibly still, there's a chance that, you know, people who are on your same network provider may be able to, you know, sniff your traffic, it's a lot less likely than it is if you're just connecting through that free Wi-Fi that's provided by the generous coffee shop owners. So something else to mention, in the podcast, I talk a little bit about XML RPC, and that used to be something that was turned on or off, but WordPress actually made it on by default for everyone. So you have to run some kind of a security plugin, and I am 95% sure that both the WordFence and the iTheme security plugins that I mentioned and talk about in the presentation will allow you to do that. And it's important because that opens you up to vulnerabilities as far as folks being able to, you know, try to log into your site and, you know, sort of brute force your username and password and things like that. So the last thing I'll mention was something that Eric, one of our WordPress meetup attendees, told me about. And it's a new initiative that's still in beta called Let's Encrypt. It's letsencrypt.org. And there's some real high-powered sponsors of it. And basically what it's recognizing is that it's kind of silly for people to have to pay for encryption certificates when they have become so essential to transactions on the web and to security. And so it is still in beta. I'm going to do some more research into this. But basically it's a way that without having to pay for your security certificate and being able to run HTTPS, and what that would do, kind of like a VPN, is it creates a secure tunnel for traffic so that when you are logging in with your username and password, it's not just out in the clear for anybody to be able to read. Letsencrypt.org lets you register and get a free certificate that you can then put on your website and utilize. And so anyway, that may be of help. So I'll refer you to the podcast show notes where you can link to the Google presentation that I put together for tonight's talk. You can also directly link to that by going to the shortened web address, wfryer, that's wfryer.me/2factor, the number 2 and the word factor, FACTOR. So wfryer.me/2factor will get you to those slides. So if you have any feedback or comments, I would love to hear those. And you can send them to me by tweeting me at wfryer. You also can leave a comment on this podcast. And also it'd be awesome if you would leave a comment and a rating on iTunes, because a lot of times I'll put presentations like this over on my supplementary podcast channel, which is Fuel for Educational Change Agents, that you can find on audio.speedofcreativity.org. But I decided to go ahead and put this on my main Speed of Creativity podcast, and that is in iTunes. You can find it and leave a little rating and a comment, and that would be awesome. So without further ado, it's back to the campus of Oklahoma Christian University tonight on Monday, the 29th of February, 2016, for the WordPress meetup and a discussion about WordPress security and two-factor authentication. Excited. This is my second time to get to teach. It's leap day, so at our school, in the middle division, I'm the tech director at Cassidy School now. We always do some kind of special lesson for the day, and this year it's about elections, and so I got to teach a lesson on social media and YouTube and Twitter, and have kids seeing what different candidates, how they were using their social media, and that was kind of fun. So it was fun to get to share this as well. So my actually new project that I was going to mention introduction-wise, I'm using something called Comment Press. It's a very, very cool free WordPress plugin by a group called Future of the Book. And I've written a few books and want to write more and publish more. And what it allows you to do is have comments on each individual paragraph. And so depends on what you want to do with it, but especially if you want to have something for brainstorming and just a lot of interaction rather than, you know, having threaded comments underneath posts. So something to check out that's free. It's called Comment Press. So these slides are available, and the main thing I told Len I would be happy to share about is this thing called Clef. How many of you use two-factor authentication in some way today? Okay, so that's about half the audience. And I would say we are the outliers, okay? I do not think 50% of folks out there know about two-factor and are using it. And so having used two-factor in some other contexts, I was excited, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago maybe, to learn about some options for two-factor in WordPress, and I started using them, and now I'm using them in almost all of my sites. There's a couple exceptions. So if you'd like to get to these slides, I've linked them, and I'm going to go through a couple slides, and then I'll just go to do some demos. You can go to wfryer.me/two-factor, and that is, what's the name of it? There's a free URL shortener that you can run on your website, like you install with cPanel. So instead of tiny URL or whatever, you can be fancy and have your own. You have to register the domain and pay for it, but then you can just run that as like an add-on slot on your site. So Anyway.
That site?
Yeah, yeah. So that's my URL shortener. So this is actually a Google presentation. And so instead of using goo.gl or tinyurl.com or bit.ly, I do that. So it has metrics and just looks kind of cool. Plus, on a practical level, I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but if you mistype a shortened URL and it's one that you don't control, like bit.ly, you know, you can go all kinds of places because lots of people use those shorteners. So at least if you mistype here, if you don't get an error, you'll go to a site that I have saved before, because that's my own URL shortener. So, and I'm W. Fryer on Twitter, and we haven't talked a lot about hashtags, but I use the WordPress OKC hashtag when I tweet about stuff that you all share and I learn, and so if you want to use that, that's great. So I'll talk just a little bit about WordPress updates, being savvy about plugins, mention two plugins that I've been using and really do like a lot for security, two-factor authentication we'll talk about, and I have a little video about that, and then we'll talk about the Clef plugin. But I guess I need to start with two things. Number one, a disclaimer that I am not a lawyer, and I am not a coder, really. I'm just kind of a script kiddie sometimes when it comes to like tweaking, but I really don't do that much with code. I usually just use powerful stuff that other people have made, and that's one of the things that is so great about this WordPress meetup. I have learned so many things over the years about a plugin here and a theme here and a technique there. So I have somewhere around 30 sites that I maintain, some for myself and some for some other groups. But anyway, I probably should have some kind of formal disclaimer, because when it comes to security and things like that, you know, you're going to do things to your sites. And so, you know, take this all with a grain of sand, and please don't blame me if something goes wrong. I hope that something I share might help you not be hacked. And that's the other segue, because Lynn said she was hacked. I was hacked. This was, I think, in 2010 or 11. I was at a conference in Denver. One of the websites I maintain had this message from Turkish hackers who hated Israel, and they had hacked the site, and I couldn't on my own figure out how to get it back to how it was before. So thankfully, my web host with the regular backups was able to roll back that site. It wasn't, coincidentally, one I had updated in a while. So we'll talk about updates, because that's really the number one way right out of the gate to keep more secure, is to make sure you're updating your WordPress core and any plugins, and to realize that every plugin you install increases your susceptibility to hacks. So it's sort of like, if you know, we have a house and there's a lot of doors, the least secure door, you know, is the one that probably people are going to go in. So if you're using a lot of plugins, I used to post the plugins that I used online, and there's a word for it, like Colophon or something. And it's kind of cool, like, you know, I learned about plugins that way. But I also realized after a while, oh, I'm telling everybody all these vectors to hack my site, because here's all my plugins. And if you, you know, pick the one that was updated last, maybe there's a hack for that. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll do the Clef demo. So my best security advice is to keep all your WordPress components updated. I used to be a lot more anal about not using the update, you know, feature in here and doing a manual update. This was years ago. I started using WordPress in 2005. But I have really not had problems updating. I do right now. There's the caching plugin I use. It's been called Zencache. Now they changed it to Comet Cache. Just really love that. It absolutely makes a huge difference on my sites that are heavily trafficked. And right with this one, I've just noticed it's giving me an error when I delete it. So I think I'm going to have to manually delete that one from within the file manager of cPanel. But has anybody had trouble with that? And is anybody still wary of running updates and doing it, you know, just through the WordPress dashboard? Has anybody had trouble with that?
I had trouble with, you know, just a compatible. Well, I updated a mobile plugin.
Uh-huh.
And when I did that, then it made this my Stripe stop working.
Okay. Okay, and I'm glad you said that, because compatibility is really important, especially if you're working with an e-commerce plugin or something like that that's, you know, bringing in money. So you want to check and see what version of WordPress it's compatible with. I've definitely been bit on the Mac side when I was using more client software and not cloud software, where I would, oh good, the new operating system update's out. Ugh. And then, you know, the program I'm using for my invoicing is not updated, so I have to wait or use a different computer. So you do want to be wary of that. It's always a good idea, and they'll say this, to take a backup, make a backup of your site before you update so you can roll back in case something is, you know, and the main site that I'm using now for e-commerce just to sell ebooks, I am wary about updating right away because of that very thing. So in the dashboard, when you log in to your backside of WordPress behind the curtain, you're usually going to see the number of updates that are available. And here you can see I've got these three plugins on this site that are ready to be updated. So usually I just click select all and update plugins and it's all good. I've also over time just learned to take out the themes that I don't want. The more things you have in your site, the more susceptible you potentially are for a vulnerability. If you're not running a theme, I'm not a security expert. I don't think that really makes you as vulnerable as a plugin does, because a plugin that's running, making changes to your site and making some things open. So keep them updated. And so I think some people have varying opinions about Jetpack. Some of us are not really excited about Jetpack. Is that right? Is all the things that it does? Maybe. I like Jetpack. I'm excited about it. It has some features that update. Some of us have employment that's tied to Jetpack, so we won't make you go on the record. But it's free, and it does some really cool things, including helping you stay updated. And there are some plugins, like WordFence, that I've been using that keeps itself updated. So anybody have experiences with auto-updates or using plugins for auto-updates?
I use Managed WP.
Okay.
For everything, and it does this thing now where it makes updates of every one of my sites 4 times a day.
Wow.
And if I go in there, I can basically hit an update all button, and it will update all of my websites at the same time.
Awesome.
And then if something breaks, you can just roll it back to the last update that they made. It's so frequent.
And so do you pay for like a developer license that has unlimited sites or by site?
I think I'm paying $10 a month right now. They've just updated the whole product and they're repricing everything, so that's going to change pretty soon. But
okay.
It's been really nice for us.
Cool. So Managed WP. I used something called Infinite WordPress for a while, and I actually bought some of their tools for backup and things. And for a year or so, I was doing some content blogging for iThemes and working with them and seeing their webinars, and that was something that they had pointed me to. Anybody else use anything besides Managed WP for updates?
So I think Sync.
Okay.
You can manage a bunch of sites from there and update them all. And they've rolled out some new recording features, which is nice. I should look into them. But with that, you can kind of make a report of all the updates you've been doing and send that to your client just so they know, you know, what this is what you're paying for.
Yeah.
But one time I got burned with that. You know, I just updated my stuff and then different sites, but then one of them, a plugin was not compatible or something, and my site went offline.
Right.
So if you use that service, any of those services, go and check your sites.
Right.
And make sure they're up. Because
yes.
You know, maybe it updated, but maybe your site's offline.
Yes. And I'm a real big fan of Backup Buddy, which is an iThemes product. I'm not affiliated with them. They're not giving me a kickback for saying this. But I have that set up to back up to Amazon S3 and for pretty much all my sites now. To do regular backups. So that's another thing with security. Have good backups. Make sure they're regular. Make sure you can restore them, right? The backup is not real until you verify that you can restore it if something, you know, goes down and goes bad.
One more tip. Uptime Robot, if you've heard of that, is a site that monitors when your sites are up or down.
So it just robot?
Uptime Robot.
Uptime Robot. So you just... if you make a free account, you put your site in there, and it checks it every minute or every 5 minutes to see if it's up, and it emails you if it's down.
That's awesome. Nice tip.
That's in Jetpack, too. Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of it's a little bit
more accurate than Jetpack.
Is it?
It's a whole lot more.
Uptime Robot. Okay, I'll put these slides in here. I'll add them after I'm done. Okay. So we'll add those slides in. So plugins. How many of you have downloaded and put in a plugin? You've installed a plugin before, okay? Pretty much everybody, almost everybody. So I really think it's great to look at how many people have installed a plugin and what it's rated. You know, make sure it's legit. Just like, well, there's just more security threats around, and I think you rarely, if ever, unless, you know, well, let me rephrase that. Just be very careful when you install a WordPress plugin that is not listed in the directory, the official WordPress.org directory. People have commercial plugins they sell, but it's all about trust, you know, trusting that company. And that's why it's helpful to be a part of a users group and, you know, be able to bounce things off folks and see who's using it and go with your trusted voices. So it's a really good reason on social media too. You're going to do something. Hey, who's been using such and such? And being able to find out somebody else you trust that uses it. So two primary WordPress plugins I've used for security. Again, going back to Lynn's story about being hacked and my own experience, I really think that it's important to run plugins that provide additional security beyond what WordPress provides. WordFence was the second one that I really started to use a lot, and now, okay, I'm making myself vulnerable for threats, but surely no one's even going to listen to this recording, so it's not a problem. But I use WordFence on almost all of my websites, and I learned about it from a teacher in New Jersey called Kevin Jarrett, who's into WordPress, and it is amazing, really good. I will say I've locked myself out of my site before, but there's ways to get around that. And, you know, one of the things it does, and most of the security themes probably are, when people try to hack your site, like hopefully you're not using admin as your username, right? You've changed that, and you've deleted the admin account. And if somebody tries to log in with admin, like more than three times or five, whatever, they're locked out. Their IP address is, like, banned. So what Lynn was saying about HT access, I've played with a little bit, but these kinds of plugins will do those kinds of manipulations as well, and making editing changes to, you know, your site so that you're being protected. I actually turn off the live monitoring because I just, on one of my sites especially, that just was taking a lot of processing power and it was too busy. But it's kind of interesting because you can see what's going on and who's trying to, you know, hack. And just like computers, if people can compromise a WordPress site, they can compromise your website and they can host files there and do things. You might think, well, why would someone hack me? Well, every target is potentially lucrative to someone who wants to, you know, wants to utilize computing resources. So WordFence is my number one. The other one I started with is iTheme Security. It was called Better WordPress Security, and then iThemes bought them. I still use this on a couple of my sites, and I'm not security savvy enough to be able to tell you in detail why one of them is better than the other. As I've used both, I'm just liking WordFence better. They both have some pro options that you can opt for. I'm not doing those at this point, but I've used both of those. Anybody have any comments about those or other security plugins you're using?
The other advantage of WordPress that I found is that it'll do some caching for you.
Oh, yes, WordFence will. You're right.
So you don't need to use a separate caching plugin if you want to limit them.
Correct. It's called the Falcon Engine or something like that.
It seems to work pretty well.
Right. And if you're not familiar with the caching, what that means is instead of having every time somebody requests a page from your site, a MySQL request and, you know, the processing it takes on your server, it basically takes snapshots of your pages and it serves up those static versions so they load a lot faster and the load on your server is much less. So if you would have something posted on Reddit or a tweet that really went viral or something that really attracts a lot of traffic in a short amount of time, it's great to have a caching plugin because if you don't, then your site just might be inaccessible because there's too many requests and too many processes. So that's a good point. WordFence has a built-in cache that you can just enable by default. And I usually, I don't know, we could talk all about, I guess, the settings and that. This is a great topic because how many people have been, well, you want to admit that? Who'd like to admit they've been hacked? You may not want to admit that, but, you know, thankfully it's just this one site that's happened to me, but kind of like one's enough, and then, okay, what do I need to do to prevent that? So about half of us said we're using two-factor authentication. This is what comes up if you just ask Google what's two-factor authentication. Basically, it means you have something physical on your body that's verifying your identity besides your password. I came to Oklahoma in 2006 working for AT&T for 2 years. I was the education advocate, and I got to talk to people about E-rate, but also work with schools and do workshops and all this stuff. They gave me at that time a little RSA key,
and it went on my keychain, and it generated a 6-digit number that changed every minute or two. And when we would log in to AT&T's corporate, I put in my username and password, and I physically had this RSA key. And if I lost it, oh, I couldn't get to my email because that was required to verify my identity. So there are different ways of verifying identity now. This is actually a reasonably good video by Google, and I think I'll just play this quick.
Do you ever use the same password for multiple websites? Do you ever sign into Google Mail from a public or shared computer? Such actions weaken your password and make it easier to steal. Google now offers two-step verification, an optional security feature that helps protect your account even if your password is stolen or cracked. This new feature helps improve security because signing in requires two things, something you know, your password, and something you have, your phone. It's much like what you might see on your banking website. With two-step verification, you'll get a short numeric code, known as a verification code, on your phone. You'll then enter this in addition to your username and password when you sign in. Let's take a look at how you sign in with two-step verification. After you sign in with your username and password, Google will ask you for a verification code. If you chose to receive a text or voice message when you set up two-step verification, Google will then send it to you on your phone. If you're an Android, BlackBerry, or iPhone user, you can also choose to generate a code on your phone using the Google Authenticator app. Enter the code from your phone. If you trust this computer, you can check this box and you won't be asked for another verification code for 30 days. To set up two-step verification, sign into your Google account and go to your account settings page. Then, click Using Two-Step Verification. On the next screen, click Setup Two-Step Verification. Follow the directions on your screen to choose how to receive two-step verification codes. You can receive your verification code in an SMS text message, in a voice call to your landline or mobile phone, or by generating a code using the free Google Authenticator app on your Android, BlackBerry, iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. But what if your phone is unavailable, lost, or stolen? Next, you'll add two backup options for receiving verification codes. Write down or print your backup verification codes. You can use these in case your phone is not available or if you are traveling. Keep them in a safe and accessible place. You also need to add a backup phone that you can use if you lose access to your primary phone. This can be a work or home phone or the phone of someone you trust, like a friend or family member. Two-step verification protects your Google account whenever you sign in from a web browser. However, devices and applications, like smartphones, the Picasa desktop application, and Microsoft Outlook, can't ask you for verification codes, only your username and password. In order to help keep these applications safe, you need to use a special password, called an application-specific password, instead of your regular account password. Application-specific passwords are generated by Google upon your request, and you do not need to remember them, since you should only need to enter them once. To illustrate, let's set up the Mail app on an iPhone using an application-specific password. First, you need to create an application-specific password. Go to your account settings page and click Authorizing Applications and Sites. Enter the name of the application this password is for, in this case, Gmail on my iPhone. Then, click Generate. Enter the application-specific password on your iPhone, and you're done. We know application-specific passwords are long and hard to remember. That's why you don't have to. You should only need to enter these passwords once per application or device, and you can always revoke and generate a new password if needed. Thanks for trying two-step verification, and kudos to you for taking extra steps to protect your account.
Okay, you can see that's a little old by the features that were in Gmail and also just by the, by the features that are in Gmail and by the way that the iPhone's looking as far as the iOS that's been updated. But that's... That's probably one of the best things. In addition to writing down your passwords and not using the same ones and having a trusted place, like I use MSecure, the app, or my parents, or a lot of our teachers are now using 1Password. I don't know if there's some another app that you have. That's really good advice. 2-step is really good to enable. And so this website, which is 2factorauth.org, lists all these different websites and whether or not they support 2-factor. Interestingly, Amazon, for its customer side, consumer side, doesn't. If you use any of their cloud services, like I use Amazon S3 or you use CloudFront or whatever these other services, you can enable it, and I think it's a really good idea to enable it. For your banking sites, I just, you know, the mistake I made when I got a new phone was I forgot to disable those, and I got a new phone, and then I used the Google Authenticator app, and so I just had to make phone calls or have those recovery codes. So my lesson learned is I'm going to disable two-factor next time I shift phones, and then I'll re-enable when I get the new phone. Yes.
So you said 1Password. Is that one of those apps that allows you to put all of your different passwords for everything you use, and then you use a master password?
Exactly. So that's that. It's, and this is it on iTunes. It's just without a space, 1Password. That one happens to be free. The one that I'm using, and I'm just started to use it because my parents started using it. They're actually quite savvy as far as, like, this is a whole new thing of the 21st century with wills and trusts and being prepared for death. Seriously, it's like, will your loved ones be able to get into your iTunes account or be able to get into your websites? And so having that stuff written down, this is the one that I mostly use. And it's just, this is important security stuff. So if you work with clients and, you know, encouraging them, you're only as secure as your most secure password. And if folks are using insecure passwords, then this is why we're going to Clef. Because if we do something with two-factor, we're going to increase, we could potentially be increasing the security for everything. So that website lists a whole lot of different sites that use two-factor. And so you might even shop for things based on this. So if you're looking for a backup solution, here are all the different backup solutions and whether or not they use two-factor and how they do it. If they support SMS, phone call, hardware, software, token. Since I visited last, they've updated that website a little bit more. So let's talk about Clef. As I did some research, is anybody else using two-factor authentication with WordPress? What are you all using? Are you using Clef or something else? Clef? Something else? What are you using?
For the app or for the...
For the two-factor, just like how do you two-factor authenticate?
Well, WordPress supports two-factor, and for the code I'm using...
Huh. Say that again. WordPress supports it?
WordPress.com supports two-factor.
Okay, for WordPress.com hosted.
WordPress.com.
Okay, and then so and there's an app in the...
And then there's just Google Authenticator for the code.
Okay.
I use the mobile app.
Hmm?
I use the mobile app for authentication. When you can have it set to notify your mobile app.
Yeah.
You open up the app and...
Yeah.
Cool. So if you didn't catch that, you can have self-hosted WordPress sites on your own account when you download WordPress and install it, download from WordPress.org. That's what I'm doing with Clef. If you have WordPress themselves automatic host the sites for you on WordPress.com, they support two-factor already. So you don't have to do this. But if you've got any, you know, third-party sites, the self-hosted sites for WordPress, then Clef is an option. And again, when I was looking at the choices on which ones, I looked at how many people had downloaded it, what the ratings were, all of those kind of things, and it was very highly rated. I'm going to play a little video that just about 60 seconds. It'll introduce it. One of the things to be aware of is it is free up to a certain number of logins. And then if you go beyond that, then there's a charge where you start actually paying. And I don't think I've gotten to that point because it's a heck of a lot of logins. But here's a little Vimeo that will tell us more about Clef.
Our lives are online. Work, money, photos, friends. Everything important to us lives in the cloud, protected by 8 little characters that we just can't seem to remember. Passwords make using the web painful, and the breaches in the news remind us that they can't keep us safe. And if you're using traditional two-factor, remembering your password is only the first step. There's a better way to log in. The New York Times calls it magical, and it already powers logins on more than 9,000 websites. No passwords, no tokens. It's two-factor that makes your life easier. Hold your phone up to any computer in the world and you're instantly logged in. It's called Clef, and it is the future of logging in.
Okay, now again, let's go back to the disclaimer, because, you know, I am trusting websites. I'm trusting, you know, Clef at this point, but that's a big trust, right? I mean, if they are not being security savvy, you know, with updates, I mean, there's all kinds of vulnerabilities. So Clef may not be the best, but at this point, I found it to be working. I haven't read things about them being insecure and being problematic. And so what I'd like to do now is just a little demo for you. This is the Clef app, which you download for free, and it's available for Android as well as for iOS. And so what I'm going to do is bring up one of my sites. So this is my Show With Media site. And interestingly, when I've got Clef, it usually goes to the login screen first. I don't know exactly how it detects that, maybe because I've been logged in before. So these are just different media products that teachers can create, and I update this pretty frequently. So if teachers want to know how to make ebooks or make other things, this is one of my probably most trafficked WordPress sites. So I'm going to change this to my login, which, by the way, that's something security plugins may do as well. They may also change it so it's not a default WP-admin, but you make the directory address for how you get to your dashboard. And that itself is huge, because when most hackers, I'll say as if I know this, but I think a lot of hacking programs for WordPress try to log in as admin. And they try to go to your site and do /WP-admin. And so if you change those two things just out of the gate, you will probably reduce considerably your susceptibility to hacks, because if they don't know your username, you know, they have to guess both your username and your password. So what I'm going to do, and I'm recording this, so this will have a little bar at the top, but I have a program on my Mac called Air Server. Computer, be like a Apple TV. So we have ours at school set like this. You have to put a code in, it verifies that it's me connecting. And so now this is my iPhone live. I'm going to move this over a little bit, and I'm just going to open up the Clef app. And I have Touch ID, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to type my password so that you can see it. My PIN. All right. So sometimes when things happen, you do have a PIN that you put in. I'm going to hold this up to my screen. And da-da-da-da, it just is logging me in to my dashboard, just like that. And so when I go to another one of my WordPress sites, so this is my primary blog, Speed of Creativity, and I go ahead and log into it, I've already logged in to Clef. And so it recognizes, hey, you've already logged into Clef, so just click here, and boom, I'm logged in. Over on the iPhone app here, it says, if I can get that, there you go. I'm logged in now for 59 minutes. So I can tap on this, and if, hey, I'm going to be working for a while, so I'm going to say 2 hours, set timer. I'm going to automatically be logged out of all my Clef sites when that expires. If I want to log out now, I tap log out now, and all of my websites that I've logged into, so if I come over here to my dashboard and I try to, let's go look at my Jetpack. If I try to look at that, ooh, can't do it yet. Why? Because I logged out with Clef. So I think that's not only, as the ad says, ooh, look, it's magical. You're able to log in by scanning the code, and I have to have my phone in order to do that. It also is nice to know that I can log out of all of my sites with one tap on the app. So, let me show you the process for getting this installed and the way I have this configured, and then see if you have questions, and that'll be about it. So when you go into your plugins for WordPress, you're just going to say add a new plugin, and then just search for Clef. And we're going to see that it has over 700,000 active installs, 78 reviews with a 4.5-star rating. It was last updated 2 weeks ago. All of this is important. Whenever we're doing plugins from a security standpoint, when you see one that hasn't been updated in 2 years or a year, or, you know, it only has 50 installs. I mean, be careful because it may not be a great plugin. Maybe it is, but I would just say be wary of it. So you're going to click install now, and then when you've got it installed, you are going to have a sidebar icon that says Clef, and it's going to initially take you through a wizard to set this up. Now, I have chosen this checkbox in this case because I'm the only one logging into this site, and I don't want to have this site be susceptible to any other username or password. So I choose disable passwords for all users and even hide the password login form. So when that is selected, there shouldn't even be a login form. And this is, again, where I'm going to reach the limits of my security knowledge, and you all are going to be more knowledgeable than me, perhaps. When other people just go to wp-admin, it's not going to present them with putting your username and password. And if folks are writing programs that are going to iteratively try, okay, let's try admin. Now let's try, these passwords. And they'll try to brute force your website by submitting a bunch of passwords. That is not even going to be presented here. So it's a multiple layers of protection. You may not, however, have that luxury because the folks who are also logging into this site may not have Clef. They may not use it. And so if you're not disabling that, you can still choose what privileges passwords are disabled for. And so, you could make administrators only. You could still have contributors or authors on the site using passwords, but everyone who is an editor or greater or an administrator or greater, they could have to use Clef. So that's probably a good idea, because the more passwords that are out there for your site and the weaker the passwords are for those accounts, the more susceptible your site is to being hacked. So you want to encourage everybody using your WordPress sites to use a secure password. Use one that has 8 or more characters, special characters. It's very painful for people to use secure passwords, right? So I really see Clef for myself as a way to be more secure. I mean, like everybody else, I do not want to have an incredibly hard password for every single site. Could I do that using one password or insecure, these sites that save them? Yeah, I could. But it's a real pain when you have to log in to these different sites and check these things, etc. So Clef has been working for me for several months. With all this stuff, I'm not affiliated with anybody. There's no, hey, Wes, we're going to give you a free coffee if you talk about that. There's none of that. It's just that, I'm on a continuing quest, as Lynn said, now that I've experienced a hack, to figure out ways to make my sites more secure. And I've found that, I haven't had any hacks since that initial one. I've done lots of different things with backups and these WordFence and iTheme security and other kinds of things. But it just, when I was at Texas Tech University as the director of distance learning, I went to some security seminars, and one of the things I learned about IT security is called defense in depth. Okay, and this probably goes for any kind of security. We were talking about securing a base, securing your house. It's about multiple layers. It's not about a single layer of security that's going to keep you safe. And so I look at Clef as another layer. It's like another wall that you're building in trying to make yourself less of a lucrative or easy target. Maybe not lucrative, but an easy target for folks that would want to hack. And it also, on a very practical level, I think, unless it's security poor, and you all that are more savvy can do that research and come back and let us know. It appears to be a way that allows me to be in a much better place with my own password use, where I could have been being much more secure by just having different passwords that are really long and complicated, but that was really painful. This is not painful. In fact, this is just awesome as long as I have my phone and I don't lose it. And if I did, then I would need to make sure that I have my Clef recovery, stuff in place. So, what questions do you all have or other comments?
Well,
What other websites does Clef work on? It looks like it's kind of a general purpose factor. Is it all over the place, or do they have to specifically install it, or what's the...
Yeah, I think they're trying to become more common. So, we'll look at their pricing. So, you can put this into your application, and integrate it with what you're developing. And WordPress just happens to be, so whether you're developing in Python, JavaScript, PHP, they've got ways that developers can integrate it. I haven't found a page that talked about here are all the different sites, kind of like the two-factor. I haven't found that. But like I said, I did find that it was very well rated and had a lot of active installs, which is a good sign when I was researching WordPress. So I found this actually through the WordPress plugin repository as I was looking for two-factor. So, yeah. And two-factor is the future. Biometrics, actually. I have a friend who worked at Falcon Air Station in Colorado Springs, and not only did they have a scale, so if your weight had changed a lot, they had the retina scan, and they might say, why would you do weight if you're scanning your retina? Well, it was so somebody didn't cut your head off and use that to, you know, scan your retina. But I mean, biometrics from the military and from anybody involved in security, when you have a verification of your identity because of, you know, the scan of your retina, your fingerprint, these kind of things, your DNA. Anyway, this is part of the future. So I think, we'll just see more and more implementations of two-step, and like security things are, the more hoops you put up to keep the bad guys out, the more pain it can be for your users. And just like you saw in the Google video, when you have an application that won't do the two-step, you have to do a special password, and that stuff's complicated, right? And it's easier for people just to have a password. But there's a woman who used to be my wife's like spiritual advisor or whatever at our church, and literally I got together with her three different times, twice, for Yahoo account hacks, where they had deleted all her email, all her contacts, sent, you know, malware, spam to everybody that she had, you know, and it was like, some of that was just secure passwords, but that convinced my wife and I on our Yahoo accounts, which we don't use very much, we've got two-factor turned on now. The more we can turn on two-factor, the more we can use it. There's no silver bullet, but it's another barrier that will make us less of a target to people who are saying, I wonder whose WordPress site I can hack. I wonder whose Yahoo account I could compromise and use. Other questions or?
So if you don't have your phone, you're out of luck with Clef?
I'm glad you asked that, because I need to look into that a little bit more. I'm pretty sure that just as you can on, what should I do if my phone is lost or stolen? You can submit a deactivation request, click the confirmation link on email, and then you can reactivate your account.
So if you deactivate it,
I don't know what that does to your sites though, yeah.
Yeah, what happens to your sites?
Right.
I wonder if they still have your old.
Well, you probably would reactivate your account with your new device, I'm going to guess.
Well, or can you log in using your email on the website if you don't have the Clef?
Depending upon how you've set up your site. So if you still have usernames and passwords, you still could.
Okay.
But based on that, it seems to me like you deactivate your account, then you would get a new device and you'd reactivate your account, and then that would give you access to all the sites that you had set up with your Clef account. But good question, and I had to prepare for that, you know, just like with Gmail and these other things, you know, yeah, check that out and be prepared for it, because I haven't put those in the safety deposit box, but you know, I do have those Gmail reset codes. And for Amazon, in that case with S3, which is where I put all my podcasts, I ended up talking to them on the phone and verifying with like my social and some other things, my identity, and then they went ahead and deactivated two-step, and then I was able to reactivate it with my new phone.
Okay.
What happens if the plugin gets deleted or deactivated?
I'm not sure. I haven't done that. So, I mean, what I've found with other kinds of plugins, and this is another vulnerability, if somebody can get into your cPanel and in the file manager and, you know, manipulate at that point, and they can do all, I've had to disable rogue plugins that way, you know, not inside the dashboard. So, I don't know. That's a good question.
Let's do it and find out.
There's going to be there with most of those. There's going to be, there's going to be some things that are changed on the install, but because this is security, I don't know. I haven't run into that. But again, one of the good answers for that would be have regular backups, be able to roll back to another backup. So if somebody did get in there, or if it was you, you know, messing with something and you accidentally deleted something, you know, have a good backup that you could roll to, so you could restore and not lose much on your site, ideally. I will say that I'm using the iThemes Exchange plugin for e-commerce, and I haven't researched it thoroughly enough to know what the compatibility is, so that's one of the sites that I have not, you know, put this on. So research your compatibility, and especially if it comes to e-commerce and a site that you're going to be, you know, getting your funds from, do your homework and make sure that Clef has compatibility with that so that you're not going to stop your e-commerce processing from working or something else. Okay, any more questions?
I saw a setting with the program where you could enable the API for use for like mobile apps. Well, passwords for API.
Yeah.
So my question was, is that going to be your normal password, or is that going to be an application password, since this is a kind of two-factor? It's just really an academic question. It doesn't particularly matter, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't think that the password tied to Clef is related to your password that you have on your site. Is that what you're asking? If
enabling that is going to be your account's password, or if it's going to be an application password supplied by Clef that you use.
Yeah, these are good questions that are beyond my geek quotient. I'm not sure. I'm really glad to know, though, that WordPress.com supports it and that the mobile app, because I've got a couple sites that are still over there, and it could be just like with Jetpack or other things, there's, you know, some of this ends up being integrated within WordPress. Sort of like Apple, you know, when you look at the features like copy and paste or, you know, cropping a picture, that used to have a separate app. Now you do that right within Photos. You know, some of these things end up being integrated as core, especially as they become things that everybody needs. And I really put two-step in that category. I think we all ought to be using two-step. So what this reminds me of is like using the WordPress mobile app, or I've played with other programs for the Mac and then also for mobile blogging. And help me out with the thing that it uses when you're doing remote posting. I haven't thought of this for a while. Yeah, it wasn't just an API, but it was. There are things that you enable on your WordPress site so that it allows this kind of communication. Sorry, I'm not able to think of it.
XMLRPC.
There you go, XMLRPC. But when you enable that, it opens you up to security vulnerabilities, and so some people would recommend, you know, not having those kind of things on. Anyway, that was what reminds me of it. So you probably don't want to enable anything that you're not going to need, and you'd probably like to have the highest level of security that you can have based upon the users and who's going to be logging in. So, again, you don't have to say disable passwords for everybody, but if you're not, then consider, you know, whether or not all of your admin users could be using Clef, and you could transition. And this will allow you to email from inside WordPress all those folks, and they'll get an invitation to get Clef, to set up an account, to download the app, and that's part of the wizard that steps you through when you install it for the first time, which I didn't actually show. But that's nice. And I think there may be another option somewhere to go, yeah, invite users together or by bulk. So I could say, who do I want to invite? Let me invite all my administrators to join Clef. And it'll, as long as your email and everything is set up to be working, it'll send that email and give the message. And that's nice if you have a site that has a lot of people and you want to either provide this as an option for them, or you want to require folks with a certain level of admin authority to transition over to Clef. I guess there's more about the API settings here too. Oh, there's my secret. Don't copy it down.
Who knows?
That's right.
Get your camera out.
That's right. You can hack right in.
So you just use it on WordPress right now?
Correct. And I'm not a developer of other things. Although I have an idea for an app that I've talked to somebody about. But yeah, I'm not doing any kind of...
Banks and things, look at that.
They're developing it, and this is one thing I forgot to mention too. If you're logging in, so yes, two-factor is nice, and you can ask for it.
I'm in the Clef.
But the Clef, I don't know. It depends if they could integrate wanted to. I kind of suspect most banks and stuff would use something else. If you're on your phone and you want to log in to one of your sites. So here's our little family learning blog called Learning Signs.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.